One of the things that I love is when you're standing at the airport waiting for somebody and they have one of these, what I'm calling a welcoming committee, where they have a group of people, maybe some children waiting on their daddy, and they got signs and banners and postcards. Maybe it's a soldier, and you have a group that's waiting there to welcome him home, to show appreciation, to show value, to show respect, to show love. I love just standing there watching that. I've never experienced that personally, where anybody's welcoming me home. So I'm cheering on everybody else's welcoming committee. Hey, we love you. We value you. We respect you, and we're glad to see you. Well, when you come to 1 Peter chapter 4, it's about that. It's about you and I being on Jesus' welcoming committee. When Jesus returns in the air to rapture out His church, what's that all about? When's it going to happen? And what are you going to be doing to welcome Jesus when He calls us home this morning? Four truths about the return of Christ. The sermon's entitled, The Welcoming Committee. First truth I want you to see. Notice the reality of the Lord's return. The reality of the Lord's return. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. So the church Peter was writing to was experiencing great persecution. They were being thrown into prison. They were being beaten. Fathers were being jerked out of their homes, and mothers were left to provide for their children. It was an awful scenario. So Peter writes, hey, you're experiencing persecution. You're experiencing suffering. I know it's bad. But be encouraged, because the end of all things is at hand. It means the end is imminent. It means Jesus' return is close. It means Jesus is just soon going to come to call us home. Now, this was a universal belief in New Testament times. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says, the day is at hand. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says, the Lord is at hand. James chapter 5, verse 8 says, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says, it is the last hour. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says, the end time is near. Revelation 22, verse 20 says, I am coming quickly. See, all right, I got a question. Did Peter miss it? He wrote this a long time ago. And he says, the end is near. Well, that was a long time ago. Did Peter miss it? Well, since Jesus' death on the cross, we have been waiting for the return of Christ. And, after the ascension of Christ, when He went back to heaven, we have been living in what's known as the last days. So He did not miss it. This period that we're living in, from the time of His ascension until the eternity, is known as the last days. Now, I believe we're living in the last moments of the last days. So what Peter was saying to this crowd facing persecution, we're living on the edge of eternity. The end is close. Now, he was saying that 2,000 years ago. Imagine what he'd be saying today. I think he would leave the pulpit. He would go and be grabbing you by the suit jacket saying, hey, it's time to wake up. It's time for you to get serious. It's time for you to get busy, because Jesus is coming soon. Well, what do you do when time is running out? What do you do when time is short? Well, if you've ever watched a football game or a basketball game, they're at the end of the game. When the clock is running down, they go into that two-minute offense. They go into all hands on deck. We got to do everything we can to score the most amount of points, or we got to do everything we can to stop the other team from scoring. So, because it's almost over. That's what Peter's saying. The end is at hand. The end is near. Jesus' return is close. It's time to live like it. What do you do when things are urgent? How about when a weather storm comes around here? Whether it's a snowstorm or a hurricane or a tornado, the weather people, and thank God for the weather people, they send out the news alerts. Oh no, it's a weather storm. Everybody goes to scurrying. Everybody goes to the grocery store and they're getting milk and they're getting eggs and they're getting bread because it's coming and it's going to happen soon. That's what he's saying in this passage. But the end of all things is at hand. It doesn't mean that you're to sit. It doesn't mean that you're just to look up into the sky and say, okay, Jesus, we're waiting for you. No, 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 no. It's time for you to get busy. If you come to the Jackson household, my favorite, one of our family's favorite games is a game called Catchphrase. Now you see this is broken probably because I got mad at it and threw it against the wall. But it's kind of like the $25,000 pyramid and you're trying to help people guess the word. Well, what's interesting is, and I probably can't get this thing to work. Can you hear that sound? And as it gets the end, the beeping gets faster. And you got these people and they're talking faster and faster. They say, you got to understand, you got to listen, you got to. And it gets faster and faster until you shut it off and tell it to be quiet. Listen, folks, listen. The end is near. Jesus has never, his return has never been as close as it is this morning. And I'm here to say, too many church folk are just living like, oh yeah, one day he might come. Oh yeah, I believe that happens. Maybe when I'm old. No, no, no. It is around the corner. It's time for Christians to wake up and realize the reality of the Lord's return. Secondly, I want you to see the responsibility to the Lord's return. Look on to the verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye, see that word, therefore? So in light of the fact that the end of all things is at hand, you have a responsibility to be sober. You have a responsibility not to be intoxicated. You have a responsibility to be sensible, to have sound judgment. One who sees things through a proper perspective. Sober there means to be alert. It means to be aware. Now, you know someone that is stoned out on drugs. You've seen that. You know someone who is drunk with alcohol. They're in a stupor. Their mind is not facing reality. Their speech is slurred. They're not sober. They're not sensible. They do not have sound judgment. So Peter says, in light of the fact that the end of all things is at hand, you should be sensible. You should be responsible. You should show some self-control and have some priorities. You say, preacher, I don't drink alcohol and I don't do drugs. I'm sober. I'm here to say a lot of us are not sober spiritually. Oh yeah, maybe we don't drink the alcohol and maybe we don't smoke the pot. But we're drunk on the things of this world. We are intoxicated in America, in North Carolina, with materialism. We are so consumed with getting the next gadget and the next toy and the next thing that we don't focus on Jesus. No, no, no. We are too addicted to materialism. I'm here to say, hey, talking to Neil Jackson, we in America are intoxicated with sports. Oh, we cannot get enough. We're just glued to it, and there's nothing wrong with sports. But there's something desperately wrong when sports are a higher priority than Jesus is. Some drunk is out of his mind. He is not controlled. He's just falling all over himself over some substance. And I'm saying there are a lot of people that are falling all over themselves for materialism, for sports, for work. Work is your God and not Jesus. And I'm saying, hey, folks, I'm not against sports. I'm definitely not against work. I'm not against you having things. Do you realize what is going to happen to the things that you're putting your life into, all of those things, when Jesus returns? You're leaving them behind. Hey, that thief two doors down, when he stops, sees you going around and moving, he goes, hey, they're gone. I'm taking what they got. And your four-wheeler, he's going to be riding. And that thing that you got a loan for, he's going to take. And I'm here to say, we're not sober. We're not sensible. The word sober was used in Mark to describe the demoniac that Jesus cleansed. Luke chapter 8, verse 35. Then they went out to see that which was done and came to Jesus and found the man, out of the whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. You see that next phrase? In his right mind. Same word for sober. And they were afraid. This demoniac was out of his mind, and after Jesus met him and cast his demons out, he was in his right mind. He was sensible. He was sober. He had sound judgment. So I come to you. What are you living for? What is the heartbeat of your life? Hey, based upon your schedule. Based upon how you spend that time from when you get home in the evenings to when you go to bed. What is the dominating force in your life? Where does Jesus fit in your life? Are you sensible? Do you realize, hey, it's going to happen soon. We better be reading our Bibles when Jesus returns. Will you be AWOL spiritually? Number two, the responsibility to the Lord's return. Number three, the request for the Lord's return. Look on to the verse. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. And notice what it says. And watch unto prayer. The word watch means to see events in proper perspective in light of the end. Christians living in the last days are to be watchful of current events. Just take this week. Look what's going on in our world. Do you think all of that is just coincidence? Had someone, I'm not saying this, they came to me this week. Preacher, do you realize what's been going on in California? Like, yeah. He said, do you realize all of those fires they had out there? Like, yeah. You realize they just had a couple of big earthquakes out there, right? I said, yeah. He said, now they're having all of those mudslides out there. I was like, yep. Then he made this statement. I think God's in there, don't you? And I said, yeah. Folks, that's what the verse is talking about. Watch. Be alert to what's going on. Be alert to the events happening. And notice what it says. Look at the verse. Watch unto prayer. So watching should not just make you nosy, just make you an observer. It should make you do something about what you see, and you should pray. One thing I love about right here, this community, and especially when we were living next door in the church parsonage, is there's a great community around here that are watchers. Honestly, I'm telling you, you're not going to steal anything around this church. Because we got a community watch. And if somebody comes walking up here or driving around here at 2:30 in the morning, hey, we got spies out there. And they're watching. And they got telephones. And they're going to call the police. And they're going to wake up the preacher and say, hey, somebody's snooping around up there. That's what we're to be doing. We're to be watching what's going on in our schools. We're to be watching what's to be going on in our government. We're to be watching what's going on. Watch unto prayer. Now here's a thought that I never had really grasped until this week, and I hope you get that. Remember in the model prayer, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And it's not that we're to repeat that prayer. We're to take the principles out of that prayer and use them. Remember what he told the disciples? They are to pray, kind of two-thirds down in there, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are to be praying for the return of Jesus. We are to be praying, Jesus, even so come quickly, Jesus. Now look what the verse says. Watch what's going on. Observe the events of the day. And when you observe things, whoa, that startle you, pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. He that testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Notice what John prays. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Get this. This is almost hanky-waving. Listen to this. This is huge. We have two twin 8-year-old little boys. And whenever we travel, we put one kid in one car and we put the other kid in the other car because they fight and then they drive us crazy. Well, one of the ways they drive us crazy is, are we there yet? How much longer? Are we there yet? Oh, I'm tired. How much longer? Listen. Them asking, are we there yet? How much longer? Does no good. It really does no good. Listen. When you pray, it does do good. Hey, when you see stuff going on in Washington, D.C., that alarms you. Jesus, please come quickly. Hey, when you see stuff going on in Europe that just bother you, Jesus, thy kingdom come, would you please return? Hey, he would not tell us to pray it unless there was a reason we are supposed to pray it. Listen, do you realize that you can encourage the return of Jesus by praying for his return? Why would he tell us to pray it if it would do no good? So, if it will do good, then why don't you pray it? And he's saying, watch, observe what's going on, unto do something about it, pray. God, your kingdom come. When your kids are being deceived, you know what you should do? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. When you see homes being destroyed by Satan, you know what you should do? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. When you see alcohol and drugs destroying this community, you know what we should do? We should pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. When cancer is destroying bodies, you know what we should do? We should pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And if you don't, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. Lord, how are we sinning against the Lord? And ceasing to pray for you. The request for the Lord's return. Here's the way I would describe this and we'll move on. Ever been trying to move something really heavy? Ever been trying to move something that is just bigger than you have the capability to move by yourself? So you get a couple of people there with you and you say this. All right, ready? We're going to do 1, 2, 3, and then we're going to push. And so you on your own cannot move it. But with those other two people, ready? 1, 2, 3, and then there's that guttural sound. Ugh! And together, you can move it. Listen, that's what he's saying. Watch, watch, watch. And when you see stuff that alarms you, do something about it. Pray the request for the Lord's return. Number 4, and this is my favorite point. And so, y'all listen quickly. Number 4, the respect for the Lord's return. Now, Peter didn't tell us the time is near so that we could just twiddle our thumbs, so that we could sell everything and get a lawn chair and set it on top of our house and just wait for Jesus to return. He told us of Jesus' soon return so that we would do something about it and be ready for when he returned. You say, what does he want us to do about it? Look at verse 8. Above all things, so of supreme importance, have fervent charity or have fervent love among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. So he says, hey, since Jesus is coming soon, you should be the most loving people there are. And it says that word fervent, that means you're to strive. That means you're to strain. That means you are to the best of your ability. Hold on a second. There are some people that are easy to love. There are some people that are easy to show charity to. You don't have to be fervent about it. It just flows. You know where it doesn't flow? Difficult people. Obnoxious people. And you're just, you are to strain. You are to try, in light of his return, you are to show fervent love. That's not my point. Look at verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. So we are to be hospitable people. Verse 10 talks about your gifts. Notice verse 11, and I want to give you 3 ways that you can get ready for Jesus' return. Here they are. Number 1, you need to speak up. Look at verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God or the utterances of God. When we speak, we should be speaking for Jesus. So listen. Who's going to speak for Jesus where you work if you don't? Who's going to speak to the people around where you live for Jesus if you don't? And I'm here to say, okay, Jesus is coming soon. Great. We're getting ready to escape all this mess. All troubles and trials will then be o'er. Yes, suffering will be in. We will be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Great. What are we supposed to do about it? Number 1, we are to speak up. You say, well, I'm just not an outgoing person. This is Jesus' return. You've got to be an outgoing person. Now, I understand in context, this is talking about preachers. When they stand from the pulpit, they are to preach this book. So it's not my job to give you my opinion. I stand up here every week and I go verse by verse by verse by verse by verse. Why? Why do you do that? Because I am to give you the very oracles of God, the very utterances of God. This is what God said. So it is going after the preachers. Preachers, don't give them your opinion. You give them my opinion. That's what he's going about. But it doesn't stop with just preachers. It starts with church folk. Come on, Jesus is coming soon. You need to speak up about it. You need to say something to those people in your life that need Jesus. You say, what if they get mad at me? Hey, what if they never hear about Jesus and they die and go to hell? God has put you there to show Jesus and to speak up for Jesus. Number one, speak up. Your second response, you got to show up. Look on to the verse. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. If any man minister, it means if any man serve, let him do it as the ability that God has given him. Great, 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 wonderful testimony of this. Caden Fields. Hey, preacher, I wrestle. Can I do something through wrestling to promote Jesus? Well, yeah, you can. Hey, what's your ability? If he can use wrestling to promote Jesus, can you use teaching to promote Jesus? Can you use nursing to promote Jesus? Can you use mechanicking to promote Jesus? He's saying, hey, if God has given you ability, one, it's not you have your own ability. It is a gift from God. He gave you this ability for you to use it for his kingdom. So therefore, speak up. Secondly, show up. You need to be serving Jesus in light that the end is near, in light that it's almost over in this life, in light of the fact that we don't have much time left. You need to be serving. You need to be serving around the church. You need to be serving outside the church. You need to be doing everything you can to make Jesus known. Speak up, show up. Thirdly, you need to straighten up. Look at the last part of the verse. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Now look at it one more time, and I'm going to show you the two words that bother me most in that last part of the verse. That God in, next two words, all things may be glorified. All things, listen to this, because I'm going to upset some of you, mean the songs you listen to on your radio. That in all things, God may be glorified. All things means the television shows that you watch. Now, if Jesus is returning soon, why would you watch television shows that are totally contrary to what he says is right and what you know to be right and wrong? Hey, if all things means radio and television, it also means what you listen to when you're with the boys. And ladies, what you listen to on the phone, that in all things. Let's say someone calls you tomorrow and wants to tell you the latest gossip. Hey, I'm sorry. Jesus is coming soon, and I want him to be glorified in all things that I do, and that's including what I listen to on the telephone. I just can't listen to you gossip about everybody in this community. You think they would call you back anymore? Listen, that in all things, that means late at night when no one else is around and you're surfing the internet. That means, guys, you don't go to those off XXX sites. You're not looking at stuff that you know is ungodly. That means on your phone, teenager, you're not going to those pornographic websites, because in all things, everything I do, I want him to be glorified. Straighten up. Why? Last part of the verse. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever and ever. It's all about him. It's going to be all about him for all of eternity. Is it all about him in your life? Here's the invitation. I want you to make a commitment today God, you give me opportunity this week. I'm going to speak up. God, this week, I'm going to show up and I'm just going to serve you. Whether I'm noticed or not noticed, I'm going to show up. And God, there's some stuff in my life I know you're not pleased with. I'm getting rid of them. I'm going to straighten up. Hall of shame, not hall of fame, hall of shame testimony in my life. This past week, it's been cold. We've had a little bit of snow. It's been cold. Well, I have this wonderful, outstanding, great red tractor. But there's something about this red tractor that when it's like 2 degrees, that battery really struggles to start. So, understand, I have been very good to this red tractor. I have been babying this red tractor. I've been showing a lot of affection to this red tractor, and it's been great. I mean, I have to jump it off, and I have to charge the battery, and I have to do that stuff, but it's been doing good. So, one day this week, or last part of the last week, I had worked hard, and I got the tractor to crank, and I was doing all of these tasks. And then I decided, I'll do this task, and you know what? It's a little bit warmer. I'll do that task. And you got to understand, I have been a good tractor owner. I had checked all of my vitals, and I've taken good care of my tractor. And I'm doing this task, and I hear that awful noise. Chug, 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 and it just dies. And I look at the gas gauge, and it was out. And you know, when you have a diesel tractor, I mean, they've told me this too many times. Never, ever, 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 unless Jesus returns, never return, run the diesel out of gas. I ran it out of gas. You know what makes it worse than that? I come inside, and my wonderful, godly, sweet, outstanding, wonderful wife says, "Why didn't you look at the gas gauge?" Listen, this is what I said. Quote, "'Cause I was busy doing other stuff." And she said, "Well, you really messed up." And I did. Listen to me and don't miss the point. Too many of us are busy doing other stuff. And spiritually, we're out of gas today. In light of the fact that Jesus is coming soon, some of you need to speak up. Some of you need to show up and start doing something for Jesus. And some of you, God help you, you just need to straighten up and get the sin out of your life.